Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a settlement so massive, it's maybe the biggest copyright payout in history. It's really reshaping the rules for AI and creativity.
Yeah, it's huge.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, where today we're pulling back the curtain on, well, this critical intersection of AI, copyright, and how creators get paid.
It's not just about the money, though. That's staggering.
Exactly. It's a legal earthquake.
Yeah.
It basically sets a precedent that training AI on copyrighted stuff without permission,
Yeah.
that's infringement.
Right. Which directly challenges what many AI developers have argued for a long time.
And that's the real immediate impact for, every creator out there, authors, musicians, anyone making anything online today.
And our mission today really is to understand the nuances of this landmark case.
Yeah.
We'll look into the debates about fair compensation, what that even looks like now, and crucially, explore some of the solutions popping up in the open market.
Why should you care?
Well, because it's fundamentally shaping the future of creativity, IP, how we value human art as AI gets, well, everywhere.
Absolutely. And to guide us, we've looked at some key sources, deep legal analysis of that big AI lawsuit, plus reports on new music licensing frameworks.
Yeah, these give us a really good snapshot of this rapidly changing landscape. Helps us see where we are, maybe where things are heading.
Okay, so let's dive straight into the heart of it.
Yeah.
The Anthropic settlement. This is genuinely massive.
It really is.
Anthropic, the AI company behind the Claude chatbot, they've agreed to pay, what is a staggering $1.5 billion.
Billion, yeah. To authors whose books were used to train its systems.
And like we said, staggering. Some are calling this potentially the biggest payout for copyright infringements ever.
It certainly sends a message.
A very clear one.
It does.
Yeah.
And, to put that 1.5 billion in perspective, you have to look at Anthropic's growth.
Right.
Since March, their valuation has just, well, skyrocketed. It tripled from about 61.5 billion to an incredible $183 billion.
Wow, tripled.
Yeah. So that rapid growth, that financial muscle, it's kind of crucial to understanding how they can actually pay this $1.5 billion.
Right. It makes that number seem,
Oof.
well, still huge, but possible for them.
Exactly. Suddenly very real within their financial world.
Okay, but here's where it gets, for me, really interesting. How did the infringement happen? Our sources say Anthropic literally rip books out of their shells, scan them into an internal database, which then became a search database for Claude. I mean, wait, they literally scanned books.
That's what the findings suggest, yes.
Not
It
to.
does sound almost cartoonishly direct, doesn't it? Like something out of a movie.
So did the court just see that as blatant infringement right away?
Well, interestingly, initially, the court actually acknowledged a potential fair use argument from Anthropic on one specific point, anyway.
Okay, fair use. Remind us.
Right. So fair use is a legal concept allowing limited use of copyrighted stuff without permission for things like commentary, news, teaching, research.
Got it.
And here, the court initially said, okay, Anthropic wasn't making competing books. They were making something brand new, the search database, a transformative use, they argued.
Ah, so they argued transformation. But if they weren't making competing books, why did that fair use argument fall apart?
Right, that's the million-dollar, well, billion-dollar question here.
Ah, yeah.
It critically fell apart because the books were sourced from pirated websites.
Oh, wow. Pirated sites.
Yes, that came out in discovery, and it was huge. The court basically drew a line. Okay, the use might have been transformative, but the getting it was illegal.
So the sourcing killed the fair use claim?
Pretty much. If they'd licensed them properly, bought the books legally, which they apparently did for some content, the outcome on that fair use point might have been different.
The illegal source was the undoing. Got it.
Exactly.
But even with this massive $1.5 billion figure, there's pushback, right?
Yeah,
Backlash.
significant backlash.
A lot of creators are saying it's just not enough. Because when you break it down, what is it, maybe 500,000 titles involved?
Estimated, yeah, around that number.
So that $1.5 billion works out to roughly $3,000 per author.
Which sounds well.
Paltry. I mean, imagine you spent years on a novel. $3,000 for its unauthorized use to train an AI. It barely covers editing costs, right?
Yeah.
Let alone lost royalties or the career impact.
It feels like a token amount to many, yes.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where the creators' complaints really surface. They argue $3,000 doesn't even touch the royalties they might have earned.
Or career damage,
Yeah.
lost opportunities.
Exactly. All those things stemming from their work being used without permission. It's not just about paying for past infringement. It raises a really big question. for all of us, for you listening.
Yeah.
What is the true full value of creative work when AI appropriates it, especially beyond just a single flat fee?
It's about the ongoing value, isn't it?
Absolutely. The life of the work.
That is a powerful point. That $3,000 figure is stark. But okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Go on.
Some AI folks might say, well, any use, even unauthorized training, it helps discover talent, right? Or generates new stuff, broadens the audience for the original work. How do creators push back on that?
Well, creators would likely say that discovery shouldn't mean losing control or fair pay.
Right.
And beyond just the money, they're raising other huge issues. This ties right into your point. First, there's this feeling of a permanent loss of control. Meaning, once their work is in that training data, they feel like they can't get it out. They lose the ability to, you know, purge it if they decide later they don't want it included.
It's a one-way street. Their IP becomes part of the AI's permanent knowledge base.
Essentially, yeah, like an uneditable part of its brain.
Okay, and the second concern?
The second big one is future payment, or lack thereof. If the AI then outputs something new, maybe drawing on ideas or styles from an author's unauthorized book, well, there's currently no structure for compensation for that new output.
That's huge, especially for anyone whose IP is used this way. It really shows how these rights are being fundamentally challenged by AI.
Absolutely.
But, like, is there even a practical way to opt out? Can the data set, if your stuff is in it, can it be purged? Is that even possible?
That's one of the biggest unanswered questions right now, and one the courts are clearly wrestling with.
Yeah.
It highlights a real challenge for the existing legal setup. And, you know, it's important for you to know that while this Anthropic settlement sounds done, it's actually not 1,000% done.
Oh, what's left?
Well, there was a recent hearing. The district judge wasn't entirely happy, expressed disappointment, actually, with the lawyers.
What?
Said they left important questions to be answered in the future in the settlement terms. Things like the specifics of the works list, who exactly is in the author class, the claim form details.
Okay.
And crucially, the process for notification about opting out or potentially opting back in, these critical choices need sorting by October 10th.
So getting class certification was big, but the actual nuts and bolts are still being hammered out.
Exactly. That class certification was a huge step. It let the authors sue collectively, which gives them much more power than fighting alone. But the court's follow-up shows that even after a settlement number is agreed, the fight isn't over. It's complex. The judge wants to make sure the implementation is actually fair and workable for the authors involved.
Makes sense. Okay, so while the courts are dealing with past wrongs, there's this other really fascinating thing happening outside the courtroom. Proactive stuff. AI music licensing.
Yes. This is a different kind of first. Trying to set rules for the future and not just react to the past.
And it could really redefine how creators get paid going forward.
Precisely. We're seeing groups like Sweden's STIM. They're a performance rights organization, or PRO.
Right. They collect royalties for songwriters and publishers when music is played publicly.
Exactly. They're launching what they're calling the world's first AI license for music.
Wow.
Their idea is a framework where AI companies can train on copyrighted music, but royalties flow back to the original songwriters, trying to create an authorized path from the start.
That is a huge step. And STIM's proposing this interesting double payment model, right?
That's the idea, yes.
So creators get paid once for the AI training on their music.
Uh-huh.
And then again, if AI generates new works using it and those works are monetized.
That's the proposal.
Sounds promising.
Huh.
But it requires creators to actively opt in.
It does. And that opt-in part is key for creator control, giving them a choice.
Okay.
Now, here's where we need to add a bit of critical perspective on the STEM model.
Always important. What's the catch?
Well, it's a huge step, don't get me wrong, but STIM, as a PRO, mostly represents the composition side of a song.
Meaning the sheet music, the melody, the lyrics, the songwriter's part.
Exactly, the underlying musical idea. But AI often trains on the actual sound recording.
Ah, the track you actually hear on Spotify or the radio.
Right, which involves performers, record labels, a whole other layer of rights holders.
So STIM's license is like licensing the blueprint, but not the finished building.
That's a good analogy, yeah. That split between composition and sound recording rights is critical in music.
So it sounds like STIM's license, while groundbreaking, is maybe only half the battle for AI companies wanting full clearance.
That's what our sources suggest, yeah. Only half the battle. because it doesn't automatically cover the sound recordings.
Is anyone trying to bridge that gap, cover both sides?
Well, that's the big discussion now. Our sources mention an AI company called 11 Labs.
Okay.
They've apparently taken a more comprehensive route.
Uh-huh.
Done deals with both Merlin, which represents independent labels, so sound recordings,
mm-hmm.
and Ecobalt, which represents compositions. So they're covering both sides of the song.
That sounds much more thorough, holistic even.
Exactly. That's the kind of broader strategy many think is needed.
And it feels vital, especially when you hear the numbers. Our sources cite a study estimating AI could, what, cannibalize 24% of music creators' revenue by 2028.
Yeah, a quarter of their income potentially gone. It's stark.
So these comprehensive licensing models, like the 11 Labs approach, they're trying to stop that bleeding, right? Provide real remedies for creators.
That's the aim. Trying to establish clear payment streams, maintain some control, secure the future for creative work. It's urgent.
Truly illustrates how much is at stake. Okay.
Yeah.
So boiling it all down, what does this all mean for you, the creative, or maybe just the curious listener trying to navigate this?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the legal fights, the market solutions starting to emerge. It seems like the answer has to be a mix of both, right? Learning from the courtroom and from industry trying new things.
I think that's right. And when we look at what creators and legal experts are really pushing for, the core elements of a full remedy or solution seem to be emerging.
What are they?
Well, they usually boil down to about three key things. First, payment for that initial unauthorized training, paying as if it had been licensed properly from day one.
Okay, retroactive licensing, essentially.
Sort of, yeah. Second, real control over data. That ability to opt out, to purge your content from AI datasets if you choose.
Right, the control piece we talked about.
And third, future royalties. Ongoing compensation if AI outputs new stuff based on your trained material.
So initial payment, control, and future cuts.
That seems to be the trifecta many are aiming for.
It's such a fast-moving area. I mean, the Anthropic settlement, it's a massive win for just establishing that copyright matters in the AI age.
Definitely sets a baseline value.
But it also really highlights the complexities, the ongoing challenges. It's clear we need more than just one-off payouts. We need these multifaceted solutions.
Absolutely. The future of, well, human creativity kind of hangs in the balance.
It really feels that way.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture for you, the listener, the debate isn't just about money.
No.
No, it's fundamentally about maintaining the value, the integrity, and the control of human creativity as AI becomes more and more integrated into everything.
It makes us rethink what authorship even means, what ownership means when algorithms learn from everything we create.
Precisely.
Wow. What an incredible deep dive. This topic is just,
yeah,
it's changing by the minute, isn't it?
It really is. Exciting. Maybe a bit dizzying sometimes.
You know, dizzying is a good word.
Yeah.
But it's vital work innovation on one side, protection for creators on the other.
Absolutely. And maybe as we wrap up, here's something for you to think about, given everything we've discussed. What do you think is the most equitable way forward? How do we balance AI innovation with fair pay and real control for creators? And how might these precedents we're seeing in books and music ripple out? How could they influence creativity in, well, all fields?
Those are powerful questions. Definitely something for all of us to mull over. Keep thinking, keep exploring, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.